grateful and happy to be able to be here today. Thank you for being here. Thank to those who are visiting, our guests, relatives who may be here, friends. We're thankful for you being here today. We look forward to our worship together as we gather here to worship our God in heaven. As we do typically each week, we spend a couple of minutes just kind of updating the family of North Jackson of any particular updates the elders would like to make mention of. One is the fact that our service format for Sunday will continue to be the same as it has been the last several weeks. We'll have two services in the mornings of a.m. and in one service at p.m., and that will continue through the month of July. So please keep that in mind. Of course, we continue to pray for our elderly and those who have compromised health conditions who cannot come at this time. We fully support that. We continue to pray for them. And then hopefully the experiment we're doing today with the virtual video for the web will be something that will help them as well. So we'll continue to work on that. The elders, of course, continue to monitor the situation regionally here and also are seeking advice whenever it's available from our local authorities as well as the doctors that have been so wonderful working with. We want to continue everyone, though, to do everything you can to allow us to continue to worship here under these guidelines, continue to be safe, continue to follow the recommended guidelines that we've talked about. That's the social distancing when you're sitting down, at least 6 inches apart, and social distancing when you're among people. Wear the mask, and then at least when you're in and out, coming in and out, we encourage you to do that when you're in close proximity to people. And then we encourage anyone who is ill, who doesn't feel well, to please consider staying at home. Need to stay at home. We want to make sure we protect your health as well as others around you. But the elders will continue to monitor these guidelines, and then if there's any changes, we'll make note of those changes for you and make you aware of those. But we are here today to worship our holy God in heaven. We are looking forward to the worship service together, our song service, our scripture reading, our prayers and messages from David, and our communion with the Lord, and we look forward to that. And leading us in that worship service, Brother Jeff Beard will be leading us in our singing today. Brother Chad Banks will be reading from God's word, and he'll be leading us in our prayer. Of course, we look forward to Brother David Powell's message, Fear, Faith, and Freedom from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And we look forward to that message. And then Brother Kevin Austin will be directing our communion with the Lord in the Lord's Supper. And then our closing prayer and prayer for the contribution will be led by Brother Lee Barton. So at this time, let's all join in our song service as Brother Jeff leads.
392. Sing the first, second, and fourth verses.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and pure.
Our scripture reading this morning will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 31 and going through chapter 11, verse 1. Once again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 through chapter 11, verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Let us pray. Our dear God, we come together with humble hearts, so thankful for this place of peace where we can come and worship you without fear of persecution, without fear of a government coming and breaking us up. We cherish these times. We know that these freedoms are not guaranteed forever. We see the world becoming a more negative place, a place where already today there are millions that worship you in fear, and we ask that you continue to let our country be founded on your foundations, that Christians will rise up and continue to speak your word and to share your gospel and to keep our country the place that it is. Lord, we ask that you be with us this morning as we worship you. We ask that you let us set aside the things that trouble our minds and the things that weigh in our minds. Let this service be a reprieve. Let us to worship you in a way that's pleasing to you. Let us be reminded that the church and glory to you is of the utmost importance, that you come first. You come first before our jobs. You come first before our marriages. You come first before any earthly relationship. And let us dwell in your word. Let us concentrate on it. Let us meditate on it. Let us fill our hearts and be our guide throughout our lives. Help us to worship you in a way that brings praise to you and in a way that you approve of. We ask that you be with those that yearn to be here, that are lonely right now, those that are dealing with sicknesses, those that are dealing with cancers, and those that have recently lost loved ones that are in places right now that they've never been before. We ask that you be with our church family here. Help us be an encouragement to one another. Help us to be open. Help us to find a brother and sister to confide in when we need them. Help us to comfort one another and be a strength. We ask that you forgive us when we fall short, when we sin, and when we make choices that are not pleasing to you. We thank you so much for your son and his sacrifice and the forgiveness of sins that his great sacrifice on the cross gives us today, and the peace that it gives us in this life and the next. And through your son's name we pray, amen.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as a heart, God in love.
Good morning. I appreciate so much, Jeff, those songs that you've led, Chad, for your reading from God's Word, as well as your very thoughtful prayer, and Randy, as always, thank you for making us feel so welcome at North Jackson. Most of us know that Randy Highsmith is one of our elders, one of our fine elders, but he has been leading off our services since we have reconvened meeting, and he is taking a leadership role. He's stepping up. You do know who our elders are. They don't hide behind cloistered walls. They're not CEOs. They're shepherds. They don't lead so far out in front of the flock that you can't find them, or so far back from the flock you don't know who they are. They're in the middle of their flock. You want to know what a shepherd smells like? He smells like his sheep. We're blessed, incredibly blessed, to be led by such courageous men. It's good to see you this morning, and I appreciate the fact that we're now trying to stream our lessons or our services and get them out to people who cannot be here, or people who are thousands of miles away who would love to be here and enjoy being a part of the work of this great congregation. With over 3 million confirmed cases in the United States and over 100,000 deaths, the coronavirus just will not relent. It just will not give up. Even here in Jackson, cases have surged and hospital beds are vanishing. And the debate continues to grow: to wear a mask or not. As Shakespeare once said, that's the question. Let's talk about it. Having experienced himself, along with his wife, the devastating effects of COVID-19 and experiencing those effects firsthand, Tom Hanks, in, I guess, his first TV interview since recovering from COVID-19, is now preaching a message of people doing their part to keep the virus from spreading. Here's what he had to say. The idea of doing one's part should be so simple. Hanks is 63 years old. Wear a mask. Social distance. Wash your hands. That alone means you are contributing to the betterment of your house, your work, your town, your society as a whole, and it's such a small thing. It's a mystery to me how somehow that has been wiped out of what should be ingrained in the behavior of us all. Simple things. Do your part. There was a sensibility that permeated all of society during World War II, which was, do your part. We're all in this together. And doing your part meant there was a tiny amount of stuff you could do to aid the ongoing status of an effort that had no sign of its conclusion. World War II went on for an awfully long time, a big portion of everyone's lives. They didn't know when it was going to come to an end, and we don't know what's going to happen with COVID-19. The idea of doing one's part, though, should be so simple. I think a huge majority of Americans get it, but let's not confuse the facts. It's killing people. I don't know how common sense has somehow been put in question in regards to this. Close quote. I realize many of us didn't live through World War II, and maybe that's not the best context to ask the question, what does it mean to do our part? But I do think the context of Christianity is a very relevant context, and a context that, Lord willing, most of us understand when we ask the pertinent question, what does it mean for me to do my part? Someone said the other day, if the CDC told people that staying inside for 14 days could save the 2020 college football season, the entire South would be locked in their rooms right now. Have you seen this? This is one of my favorite restaurants. How many of you love this restaurant? This is North Jackson West. Used to be you go there on a Sunday night. It may still be the case. I haven't been there in 3 months. But you go there on a Sunday night, usually you have most of North Jackson there. Someone once said, why don't we just skip Sunday evening services and just meet here? Well, I'm all for that. I love the chip and salsa. You know how you judge a good restaurant? By its sweet tea. No restaurant has better sweet tea in Jackson than North Jackson. I mean, Los Potales. Amen? North Jackson's a close second. But does not Los Potales have the best sweet tea in Jackson? You know, we call it LP. My three-year-old granddaughter calls it Tally's. But you notice this sign on the door? Face mask must be worn. Do you know how many people heed that mask warning and wear a mask? Do you know how many people eat there, no matter what that sign says, and they'll do exactly what that sign says because they want to eat there? What does that say about us in the church? When the simplest of things are just beyond our ability to do. The church has always been a part of trying to help society. It's always been a part of trying to help the community in which it existed. It was, as Jesus called them to be, the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13, the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. The early church was characterized by Christians who followed the laws of the land, who listened to their government officials, who tried to do what they could do to follow the instructions of their leaders. It was Jesus who followed the laws of the land, who said in Matthew 22:21, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God." Even the Roman government, which would ultimately kill the Apostle Paul and martyr him for his convictions. The great apostle addressed the church at Rome and said this, "Let every soul be subject unto the governing authorities." And then in verse 7 of chapter 13, "Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And Peter, who was also martyred by the Roman government, would say in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, very bluntly, "Honor the king." They didn't call it political oppression. They didn't protest it as political oppression. They didn't politicize it. They didn't scream at people on the street corners or in their businesses who dared to ask them to please abide by the laws of their country, their county, or the town or business in which they currently existed. They didn't cry separation of church and state. They didn't protest, they prayed. They did their part to try to make the world in which they lived a better place. But more than this, they sought to follow the example of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know the phrase separation of church and state is not even in our Constitution? Declaration of Independence or Bill of Rights. I know what the First Amendment says, so do you. The First Amendment not only allows citizens the freedom to practice any religion of their choice, but also prevents the government from officially recognizing or favoring any religion. We, if we were to follow Christ as we should, it is a matter of doing what our president, our governor, our mayor, our officials, our leaders encourage us to do, because it's right. It isn't a matter of politics. It's just a matter of common sense and common decency. In the text that was read for us, it's in the context of a number of questions that were posed to the Apostle Paul. Two of those questions were these: may we eat meat sacrificed to idols? And number two, may we eat that meat sacrificed to idols in pagan temples? As Paul sought to address those questions and answer them, Paul said a lot about the mask of fear, faith, and freedom. Let's explore those three very quickly this morning. First of all, the mask of fear. There are those who do believe and do say very openly that the mask we wear today is a mask not of faith or freedom, but a mask of fear. The Bible does say, I've been told at least 365 times, fear not. Someone has once said that's one fear not, 365 of them for every day of the year. I've not counted them. I don't know if that's totally accurate or not, but I love the sentiment. But the Bible does talk about the necessity of fear, a healthy fear of God, and a fear of His word, and a fear of His wrath, a fear of His punishment, and yes, even a fear of dying and going to hell. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, Moses said to the children of Israel, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." I want you to notice what precedes love for God. Walking with God in all of His ways is to fear God. Jesus said it a little more plainly in Matthew 10, verse 28, when He said, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who can destroy both soul and body." Note the reverse in order. Not body and soul, but soul and body in hell. Because you see, no matter how important this body is, it cannot compare with the soul, the eternal soul each of us possesses. Do you know when God sent the plagues on the Egyptians? Do you know God spared His people when they used preventative measures? Have you ever thought about this? Go with me to Exodus chapter 12. Let me show you something in Exodus chapter 12. And I want you to note with me verses 21 through 23. And I'm talking about the Passover, and I'm talking about the last plague where God took the firstborn of the Egyptians and the firstborn of their cattle, and He even threatened to take the firstborn of the Israelites who did not keep His commandments or did not follow His preventative measures. Look at verse 21. "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you.'" It's not a mask. It's not social distancing. It's not washing your hands, but it's pretty close. In the law of Moses, which would be framed then in the rest of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you know what God used for purification? Water. Wash your hands, wash your feet, wash your clothes, clean your house. All preventative measures, as he said in Exodus 15, verse 26, that none of the diseases which plague your neighbors will ever plague your door. Do you think they listened? Most did, some did not. But it was the Lord's will. It was the Lord's instructions. It wasn't their government's. And a part of God's will is not only baptizing for the remission of sins, which we will never give up. It's not singing with a cappella music, no accompaniment of musical instruments. We'll never give that up. But just as important is the doctrinal teaching that we should obey our elders. The early church followed the government, followed their rulers, up until the point that they conflicted with the will of God. I don't know of any law in this country that we have to keep that would cause us to be in conflict with the will of God. There's the mask of fear. Two, there's the mask of faith. I know what the Bible says. You do too. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23, verse 4. Go to the next slide. Let me show you this picture. I almost forgot. Go to the next slide, please. Of course. Don't you love technology? See, I expect this at Freed Hardeman. I wouldn't expect this at North Jackson. Go to the next slide, please. Of course, I could be stubborn and just keep telling them to go to the next slide. Or I can just go to the next point. What did we ever do before PowerPoint? Ah, thank you. I guess miracles haven't ceased. Yes, they have. You seen these pictures? This is 1918 and today. Pandemics, the influenza outbreak, and now the coronavirus. Is it not eerie how some things really never change, like preventative measures? I don't like government officials having the audacity to intervene and dare say something to us about wearing a mask, social distancing, or washing our hands. All right, now go to the next slide. And so even though we do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is that not pertinent today? Do you know I have a son, Nathan, who will not come to my house and eat lunch or dinner or any other activity with us if we've invited guests, because he doesn't know where those guests have been. So if you're one of our guests in our home and Nathan and Hope don't show up, please don't be offended by that. Nathan is going to be a daddy for the first time. He's over the moon. He's ridiculous, just like his daddy. I wouldn't let you hold Katie for the first year of her life, remember? I remember people coming up and stealing Katie from me and just taking her away to see other people. How dare them? I went and retrieved her and then washed her hands promptly. I was ridiculous. I was an idiot. Like father, like son. And so he's so afraid that somehow Hope, his wife, whose health is compromised already with Crohn's disease, somehow would be infected, somehow would get sick, might die, and lose that baby. He's not going to risk it. I don't want to risk it either. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be at Freed Hardeman. I want to stay in my home. And I want to shut my doors and I want to protect my grandchild, and I don't want to leave until there's a vaccine. But I can't do that. The next best thing is to wear a mask. I got to tell you, I hate this thing. I do. I hate it. You know why I have a paper mask instead of the fine cloth mask that some of the ladies in this congregation made me? I can't breathe in the cloth mask. I just can't. I can breathe in this. Do you know, I held a meeting in Double Springs, Alabama last month. And Double Springs is about 50 miles from Birmingham, about 50 miles, 40 miles maybe from Florence, Alabama. It's in that part of Alabama where there are 15 billion churches of Christ that are on every corner. Winston County, where Double Springs is located, has been clobbered by the coronavirus. The meeting was to be Sunday through Friday, with morning services at 7 o'clock in the morning and evening services at 7 o'clock in the evening. That's 13 lessons in 5 days. 6 days, I guess. 5 days. Math never was my strongest suit. There were no mandates given by the government or by the mayor of that great state, but the elders at Double Springs requested that people who would come to the services please wear a mask. Do you know they did? Do you know there wasn't a single person in that congregation who didn't wear a mask Sunday morning or Wednesday night, the only two services that we met? I felt sorry for them. I did. I stood up to preach, and they all had masks on. I didn't have my mask on. I said, for the first time in my life, I have an advantage being in the pulpit. With all of you people staring at me and the pressure of preaching a gospel sermon, I really have the advantage here because I don't have to wear this, and you do. They wore it not only coming and going, but they wore it during the entirety of the service, not because their elders mandated it, made it a law, made it a requirement, or posted a sign. They simply asked. Such a simple thing. And yet today it's splitting churches. A cloth mask is splitting the Lord's church. When did we fall so far and so fast? It's the left. They're trying to rewrite our history. Do you know the right can do that too? Do you know the right is trying to rewrite our history as well? You know where the answer lies? Where it has always existed. Right here. There's neither left nor right. There's neither Republican or Democrat. There's neither black nor white. It is, are you a Christian? And that's it. The mask of faith. The Bible teaches we don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. We don't have to regret yesterday. We do have confidence to live tomorrow. Paul said to the church at Rome, "For I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angel nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature," may I add, including the coronavirus, "shall separate you from the love of Christ, which from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so there is a mask of faith. And the truth is, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I get it. But the idea that we suspended services here, the idea that we're taking preventative measures, and all right, maybe the idea they're a little over the moon, it's not a fear of mask. It's a mask of faith. Let me read to you what our elders said at the very beginning of all of this, way back in March. "We recognize that throughout history, Christians have been under the threat of death and persecution from various enemies. At times, they've sheltered in homes, secret locations, and even catacombs. Some may be concerned that suspending public worship services because of a virus is a compromise of faith. I want you to think about the guts and courage it took to write this statement. I want you to think about that. It is perhaps one of the most difficult decisions we've ever had to make. It goes against every spiritual impulse for us as an eldership. However, our decision is not a reaction to spiritual persecution or motivated by convenience. It is a measured response to an imminent threat. And it's an imminent threat to the health and welfare of our members, especially our elders, our elderly. And then listen to these five words. We beg your prayers. That isn't a mask of fear. That's a mask of faith, great courage. And our trust in them should not waver, nor should it be suspected to be compromised. There's the mask. Go to the next slide. While we're getting there, let me go to the third point in my lesson, the mask of freedom. Again, as I said, there you go. Pandemic then, pandemic now. You notice the male men who are going about their jobs because that's what's entrusted to their care. But they're not being foolish. They're taking preventative measures. Not for them. Shock, imagine this, for others. How about the mask of freedom? In 1 Corinthians, the questions I mentioned a moment ago that Paul dealt with in 8, 9, and 10 were about meat sacrificed to idols. Can I eat those? And then can I eat meat sacrificed to idols in a pagan temple? Let me tell you how important that discussion was. Paul spent three chapters in 1 Corinthians dealing with it. In the answer to that first question, Paul said, you may buy, sell, or eat meat sacrificed to idols, even in the marketplace, the agora, if it does not cause your weaker brother to stumble. But look at verse 9. But beware lest somehow this liberty or freedom of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. Verse 13, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. So Paul said, if it offends someone or it causes someone to stumble in their faith, then don't do it. The meat is nothing. The idol is nothing. God created the meat. It's from God's good earth. That won't change one thing, one way or another, but your influence will. Guard your influence as a Christian. Forgo your rights, if we have any at all. We have no constitutional rights according to the Bible. Our only right is to serve God and keep His commandments and to love God and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so when Paul said, I want you to forgo that right, I know you've got the right. I know you can do it. I know you have the freedom to do it. And they celebrated their freedom in Christ. But they also abused it. And Paul said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you an example. I deserve to be compensated for my work with you. But I'll forego that right because I don't want to be a stumbling block to anyone. I don't want anyone to not obey the gospel simply because they know, well, they're paying Paul to do this. Paul said, I won't take a penny from you, and he didn't. He made tents to support himself. And so he says in chapter 9, verse 22, here's why he did it. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And so if he would forego the right to being paid, compensated for his labors, then surely they could forego the right to eat that meat sacrificed to idols, prepare it in their homes and serve it to weaker Christians who would be offended by it and stumble in their faith because of it. And then the question about eating meat sacrificed to idols in pagan temples. You know why that's a question? Let me tell you why that's a question. If I can eat that meat sold in that marketplace that was sacrificed to an idol, if there's no problem with that at all, then why can't I eat that meat in a pagan temple? You tell me that, Paul. If it's all right one way, why is it not all right the other way? You see how they reasoned? That's how we reason. That's exactly how we reason in our world today. If it's all right in one place, it's all right in every place. Where do we get that thinking? Paul says, under no circumstances should you ever eat meat sacrificed to an idol in a pagan temple. And here's why. Look at verse 22. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me. You see, that's what they said. It's my right. Legally, I can do it. It's my constitutional right. I can do it. I don't have to do what you tell me to do. I can do this because legally it's all right. Then Paul says, an answer, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, they argued. Paul said, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. That's how we close in verse 10. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jew or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not in matters of doctrine, but always in matters of opinion, not seeking my own profit. Pardon the pun. When he would not take financial compensation from the church at Corinth. But the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And so Paul would wear a mask. Paul would practice social distancing. Paul would wash his hands, just as Christ did, or would. Not because man tells him to do that, but because the church, because those who are in positions of authority do. Now, when you look back at the pandemic of 1918, you find this advertisement, wear a mask and save your life. You look at it today and it's wear a mask, you may save the life of someone else. I know the debate over the mask. I've read it and heard about it till I want to throw up. Do it, don't do it. This one says do it, this one says don't do it. Again, why would we ever refuse? I found this slide too, but this comment made by someone, I wear my mask in public for three reasons. One, humility. I don't know if I have COVID, as it is clear that people can spread the disease before they have the symptoms. Kindness. I don't know if the person I'm near has a child battling cancer, cares for their elderly mom, or is expecting a baby and is at high risk because of an existing condition. While I might be fine, they might not. And three, community, which I would argue with you this morning, the church has lost its ability to influence. We better think cautiously and carefully about the mountain we wish to claim, the victories that we're marching and the enemies we're trying to defeat. We better be very careful. Is that hill constitutional, political, or is that hill divine, biblical? I'll wear my mask for humility, for kindness, for my community. I want my community to thrive, businesses to stay open, employees to stay healthy. Keep a lid on COVID helps us all. And then this, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourself. Philippians 2, verse 3. I know I've been long-winded. I'm sorry. I preach what's on my heart. I always have. I can't be anyone else. If you're looking for someone else, you may need someone else. I will not betray who I am, and I will never step down from my convictions because they're not my own. They are here. That's why I've documented every one of them with this book. This is a serious matter, one that we cannot remain silent on. Just recently in Florida, a 17-year-old teen who attended a church party where masks were not worn died. She had overcome childhood cancer only to be exposed to the coronavirus needlessly and died from complications of it. Earlier this month in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Roll Tide. Students are having COVID parties with cash prizes being offered. Attendees put money in a pot that was awarded to the person who became infected first. Let's don't presume to be so naive that that only happens at Alabama. It doesn't happen at a Christian university. A Texas hospital says that a 30-year-old man, otherwise healthy, died from complications of the coronavirus after attending a COVID party. Just before he died, he looked at his nurse and he said, "I think I have made a mistake. I thought it was just a hoax. It was not." And nor is it still. To be a Christian, to become a Christian, is to pledge one's whole life to Christ, to surrender one's will to His will, and that means obeying the gospel. Or as a Christian, to live the Christian life is to surrender one's will to His. And a part of that surrendering is doing what your elders, your leadership, encourage you to do. And one more thing as I close. You know who demanded the invitation at the end of this lesson? Your elders. It's right. It's the way every sermon ought to end. I'll never end one without it. Because you tell people where they're wrong, but we seldom tell them where they can make it right. That doesn't seem fair. Do you know you don't read one invitation in the Bible, do you? I know Jesus asked his followers to come to him, but I'm talking about this kind of invitation. Do you ever read about that in the Bible? This invitation? No. But it is a good idea. Would you not agree? So we give our thanks to our good elders. And this morning, would you consider giving your thanks to Jesus Christ? Would you consider becoming a Christian today? Or if not a Christian, would you consider becoming a more faithful Christian? If you need to come, please come while together we stand and sing.
Christ, we see. As we approach the Lord's table this morning, upon entry into the building, we hope you had the opportunity to get the supplies for your communion. If someone missed that opportunity, if you will raise your hand now, one of our ushers will take care of your need. Will you bow with me? Father, we're thankful again this morning to come to you and worship. Father, we know and understand that you understand the challenges that we face as individuals and the challenge that your church is facing. We are to remember that our Savior knows all about facing challenges, the challenges of an apostle's betrayal, the challenges of bitter hatred from those he came to save, and finally, the cruelty of being nailed to that cross and then hung to the air until he was dead. Father, as we partake of this bread, which represents the body that hung on that cross in our stead, remember as the prophet foretold, he overcome this challenge on that third day, and we now serve a risen Savior. We can overcome these challenges that we face in this life if we are to put Christ first and seek his forgiveness and seek his guidance. And it's in my Savior's name I offer this prayer. Amen. Will you once again bow with me? Father, in continuing to the memorial to your Son, our Savior, we are to remember that as he hung on that cross with his blood leaving his body, a blood which now is represented by this fruit of the vine that we are to partake. Father, let us remember that Christ, as we go through life, are to live for him who waits for us at home in heaven. And we should enjoy him there if we try to live our best that we can for him. And I pray this prayer in our Savior's name. Amen.
The men who led in our service today, thank you very much. Thank you, David. Thank you for your message, and thank you for being here. In just a few moments, Jeff will lead us in a closing song, and Lee Barton will lead us in a closing prayer that will include our contribution. If you've come prepared for your contribution, you can leave it in a basket in the foyer as you dismiss. We have just a few announcements we want to make mention of before you do leave. As we'd mentioned last week, the men of the congregation will have their business meeting today, be here in the auditorium with all the appropriate social distancing and all that. We didn't have one in April, and the elders have many good things and exciting things we want to talk to you about. So if you can be a part of that and you want to be, we encourage you to be here today. The deacons will have their short meeting afterwards all here in this auditorium. Also, the ladies of the congregation are invited to attend a bridal shower today honoring Leah Taylor, bride-elect of Jonathan Wingfield, this afternoon, 1:30 to 3. The shower will be a walkthrough in the fellowship hall, of course, with all the social distancing has been set up, and it's the ladies who prepared that have done a very good job preparing that for everyone's safety. So we want to honor Lee wherever we can. Members who cannot attend, though, can place their gift on a marked table located in the foyer today. Her selections are Target, Bed Bath & Beyond, Pottery Barn, and Vineyards. And lastly, each year we do have an event here called Giving Attention to Reading. We have it here in the auditorium each year on a Saturday morning from 8 until noon, and we're going to have that this Saturday, July 25th, here in the auditorium. What better place to come on a Saturday morning for a little while, come and go, to hear God's Word read from the Bible. We'll be reading from the books of Leviticus, Judges, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. There'll be no refreshments or anything like that like we have done in the past, and all social distancing will be followed in the guidelines that have been set up. So anyway, thank you for being here today, and at this time, Brother Jeff will lead us in a closing song.
I care not to take tomorrow may bring in shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord alone forever remains, and all that glory is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting confide.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all the blessings you give us. Even in this strange time, Lord, we thank you for giving us a great country to live in, and most of us great jobs, and just a really good life here. We pray that as we take part in the contribution, as we exit, that we do so with a cheerful heart and think of all the many blessings you've given us, even the ability to be here today. And we pray that you be with that money as it goes to further your kingdom. We also pray, Lord, that you be with us throughout the rest of this week and this day as we worship you and as we go about our lives, and we pray that you keep us safe and that we do our best to think about your Son and the sacrifice he made for us and the ultimate goal for us to be with you one day in heaven. And it's in your Son's name we also pray. Amen.